with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Al-Bari Azza wa Jal, we would like to go over a subject that is, we are in dire need of. This subject is a subject of tawbah, the repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of the Muslims, they assume that tawbah is something that is suggested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something that is recommended by Allah through the Quran and through the teaching of the Messenger of Allah. What we don't understand is tawbah is not a suggested subject or topic. It is not a recommended thing that we should try to entertain. Rather, tawbah is must. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah said in the Quran, O who you believe, all of you must repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the Muslims, due to their limited knowledge of Islam, they may assume that they can delay the tawbah until they reach certain age, until they get married, until they perform their hajj, and they thought that they can do whatever they want to do because Allah will wait for them and Malak al-Maut will wait for them. But they don't realize that Malak al-Maut does not discriminate. Malak al-Maut does not know whether you're young or old. It does not care whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, whether you're healthy or ill. Malak al-Maut has a list of names. And based on that list, Malak al-Maut will take the souls of the people. Yuqal, some of the stories from Bani Israel, لإستئناس, that we should record or report just to support what we're saying, not to take it as the core material of our deen. But they said that Malak al-Maut, he looks at the person's face 5 times a day. And he sees this person that is planning for his future. He's planning for his wedding. He's planning for his business. He's planning for his trips. He's planning for the future of his children. But Malak al-Maut is saying, what a poor soul. He does not know that his time is coming soon. He doesn't know, but he thinks he has so much time. In a similar narration, similar sources, we all know the story of Al-Wazir wa Malik wa Sultan, Malik Nabiyina Sulaiman alayhi salam. That in the presence of the Nabi, his advisors were sitting next to him, one of his advisors. And then he felt uncomfortable and he left. And he came back later on and Sulaiman said alayhi salam to him, it is not your nature to act like that and behave as such and leave as such. He said, Ayyuha Nabi. The man who was sitting next to you was staring at me, looking at me in a strange way. He made me very uncomfortable, so I left. Who was he? Malak Sulaiman said, that was Malak Nabiullah Sulaiman said, that was the angel of death. The wazir or the advisor said, Subhanallah, me and Malak al-Maut on the same land, we cannot be. So please order the wind to carry me to a far land from the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sulaiman, in a long story to make sure, he ordered the wind to carry this man to the land of India. And subhanallah, shortly after that, Malak al-Maut once again came to Sulaiman. And when he came to him, Sulaiman said to the Malak al-Maut, you made My advice is very uncomfortable. What were you staring at him like this? قال قد استغربت من حالي. He said, I was shocked about his presence here. Allah had ordered me to take his soul in the land of India. So I followed the orders of Allah and I went to India saying, Subhanallah, how can I take the soul of this man who was all the way in Palestine? And all of a sudden the wind brought him to me on due time, so I took his soul. So no matter what we try to do, and this is again, min al-isti'nas, not from Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim. So again, we have no knowledge when Malak al-Mawt would come and would ask your soul to be delivered and sent it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say, inna lillahi in the Quran, wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and into Allah we all shall return. Ikhwati fillah, the thing that we must acknowledge is, being a human being means we are being who are often will commit sins and ma'asi. Minna al-muqil wa mustakthir. وَمُعَظِّمْ وَمُسْتَحْقْ وَتَائِبٍ وَمُسْتَكْبِرْ. All of us, we commit sins in a different levels. Some of us, we are so much into sins, and others, we're away from them. Some of us, we rush back to Tawbah. Others, they are persistent and insisting in continue committing the sins. And that's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi min hadith, Anas bin Malik wa Sahih al-Albani, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل ابن آدم خطا. All of the sons of Adam, all of us, we commit sins and we fall into a ma'asiyah. وخير الخطائين التوابون. And the best of the sinners are those who quickly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worst of the deed is for us to commit the sin and to walk away as though we did not do anything. If you know, brothers, if you don't do well or you don't do what your boss asked you, you feel guilty, you fear that he may give you a note or he may fire you or he may deduct from your salary. He may punish you for asking to go back. But subhanAllah, when we commit ma'asi, sins, we don't move. Nothing moves here. As though our hearts are made of stones. As though we're not afraid of Allah. And the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Tabi'in used to say, or the Sahaba, the people who came after them used to say, Al-Munafiq, the person who is a hypocrite. When he commits a sin, he feels like a fly just flew by his face and he waves it like this. And the mu'min, when he commits a ma'asiyah, he feels like he is under a mountain about to crush him. Now look at yourself. When you disobey Allah, do you lose sleep over the ma'asiyah? Do you worry? Are you concerned? Do you lose your appetite? Or you just move on? If you move on, then something is wrong with your iman. Something is wrong with your faith. Something is wrong with the level of taqwa that you have. I want to narrate a story that really relates to the title on the theme of this. And this story is well known. But Allah said, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ. Allah said, remind. You need a reminder will benefit the believers. So everything that your speaker is going to address or say or mention or quote tonight, it's not something new. It's not something that I will bring out of my pocket. It is not something that I fabricate, but it is something from the Quran and the Sunnah and the people that we all know and the stories that we all shared before. And Allah said in the Quran, لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in their stories, the stories of the people before us, there are lessons for the people of ulul albab, people of understanding. This young man who made tawbah, who later became one of the greatest imams of the ummah, was known as the sariq, the thief. He was well built, strong, he feared no one. And even mothers, when they want to put their children to bed, they used to say, if you don't go to bed, I will ask so-and-so to come and take you. And the children used to be terrified of him. And this is Al-Fudayl bin Iyad. Al-Fudayl rahimahullah, the man that he used to make the khulafa weep until they pass out. The man who used to be a wa'idh of Masjid al-Haram. Al-Fudayl bin Iyad rahimahullah was a thief. And one night, he decided to go and rob and steal one of the local homes. And he went, while he was climbing up, he saw the owner of the house is an elderly man, old man. And he knew he could overpower this old man. But subhanallah, qaddar Allah, that Al-Fudayl said, let me see what this old man is going to do. And this old man, subhanallah, with his humble home, he picked the Mus'haf, the Qur'an, and he crossed his legs, and he sat down, and he flipped the page of the Qur'an with gentleness and kindness, and he recited out loud as though Allah is saying to this old man, Iqra, recite so the thief can hear your recitation. And he said, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. He recited this ayah. Isn't it time? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, isn't it time for them to return to Allah, for the hearts to tremble when they hear the recitation of the Book of Allah? And subhanallah, and he sat down, Al-Fudayl bin Iyad, and he said, Tubtu ila Allah, I repent to Allah, and I will never disobey Allah. And then he went to the masjid, subhanallah. He went to the masjid, and not only that he repented, not only that he shed tears, but rather he decided to be on the sirat al-mustaqim, on the right path. Because we are fake ta'ibin a lot of times. We make tawbah, but our tawbah is fake. We will say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. But in your heart and mind, they're not on the tawbah. They're not on the istighfar. And that's what Ali ibn Abi Talib said, من الاستغفار ما يستلزم الاستغفار. He said, from the istighfar, that you must make tawbah from it. Some of the istighfar that you make, you must make tawbah from that, because you're lying to Allah. You're saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, but you're thinking about your children. You say, Ya Allah, forgive my sins, but you worry about other things. Your heart and mind not in that istighfar. And now that Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, you're playing with Allah and you should repent from that. You should repent from that. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. If you only know how much sins we commit when we think we're doing good. Ikhwati fillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promised us that He will forgive our sins if we rectify our situation. If we don't stay on the situation that we make tawbah from, rather if we rectify. And Allah said, illa, when He was talking about the sinners, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. The condition is that you must make tawbah and you must make islah with Allah. You must fix that relationship with Allah. You must not assume just because you said Astaghfirullah, your sins would be washed away. You must not assume just by saying, oh Allah, forgive me, Allah will rush to your forgiveness. Yes, Allah is most forgiving and He loves to forgive. But if you play with Allah like you play with your children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. إِخْوَةِ فِي اللَّهِ I heard this story from one of the khatibs in a very profound incident. And he's talking about an incident of a young man of our time who commit a ma'siyah. But he really repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This young man, the story of this young man is narrated by a stranger who just met that man. He said, subhanallah, he said this young man, he traveled from Riyadh, from Saudi. And he went to a neighboring Arab country. And when he went for a day, one day business trip, he went, and at the end of the day he came back and he said, let me rest in one of the hotels so I may catch my flight early in the morning tomorrow. When he came to the hotels, he realized that the women who dress un-Islamic and men are smoking and drinking. And he came to the counter, the reception, and he said, do you have any rooms available? And this man with the beard and thobe, and he looks like a person of a masjid. The man behind the counter said, Ya Sheikh, what are you doing here? This is not a place for people such as you. He said, I just need one night to sleep. He said, if you want all this ma'asiyah, then you can stay here, but this is not for you. Leave. So I left, and I sat in a park, public park, waiting for the time for the sun to rise so I can pray Fajr. And after sunrise, I prayed Fajr and went to the airport. He said, at the airport, I found little musalla, subhanallah. And in the musalla, he said, I slept like a baby because all last night I was up. He said, in the depth of sleep, my sleep, I heard someone sobbing, someone crying out loud, and he shook me. And I looked, فَإِذَا هُوَ بِشَابٍ A young man, you know, beautiful, handsome face. But he looks pale, he's so pale because he's been crying. And I said to him, مَا بِكَ يَا أَخِي What is wrong with you? He said, أَتَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَنَامْ Can you sleep? I said, yes, I'm tired. He said, وَلَكِنِّي لَا أَسْتَطِيعُ But I cannot sleep. I cannot sleep. And he said, I said, inshallah, everything would be well. Just relax and sleep. But the young man would not stop crying. So I sat and I said, مَا بِكَ What is wrong with you? قَالَ يَا أَخِي I had everything that Allah would bestow on a servant. I had money. I had status. I had wealth. I have a wife and children. I'm a happy man. But the ni'mah of Allah was too much for me, so I want to change. I want some excitement in my life. I want something different. So I went with my friends who were coming out to this country. And they said, Let us have fun. Let us enjoy ourselves. And this is how shaitan, brothers and sisters, this is how shaitan leads you to ma'asiyah. Shaitan will never ask you directly, disobey Allah, leave your salah, take off your hijab, or wear hijab that is half shirt sleeve, or wear something tight, or put makeup. But he will say, look nice. He will say, just take one step. People dress like this. And one step before you know it, the shaitan puts you in the court of ma'asiyah. So his friends, they say, let us go for scenery. It's a beautiful country. It's a freedom. It's not like Saudi, everything haram. Let us enjoy ourselves. And First, go to the mall. Second, go to the movie and see a movie. Third, go to a hotel. In the hotel that these ladies, these women, and bit by bit, the man found himself committing adultery with the lady, with Iyadu Billah. He said, I rushed and I came back. And this is why I cannot sleep. That's why the tears of that person was dropping. It's a long story, ya ikhwati fillah, but it shows that if you really are repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must show it sincerely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran when he was talking about the people who deserved repentance, he said, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سُوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. He said the tawbah that comes from Allah are for those people who commit sins out of ignorance, out of jahala. But as soon as they learn their mistake, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But us, majority of the Muslims nowadays, ya ikhwati fillah, we have what we call tasweef, what we call later insha'Allah. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He said, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ الظُّلْمِ. He said, for those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they wrong themselves. Because subhanallah, when you commit a ma'siyah, you're not harming Allah, you're not hurting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not doing anything to Allah, rather you're hurting yourself. مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repent. إِخْوَةِ فِي اللَّهِ, in a hadith, authentic hadith, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy of Allah is so near and close to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said, مَا تَقَرَّبَ عَبْدِي إِلَيَّ بِشِبْرٍ. He said, my servant, every time that he comes towards me handspan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards that person arm length. And when the person comes towards Allah arm length, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَالَ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ بَعَ. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so near, is so close to us. All is Allah asking us to do is repent and come back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wallahi, thumma wallahi, unless the tawbah comes from your heart, and until the tawbah shows, it's shown through your actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not accept your tawbah. Ikhwati fillah, I will conclude with the story of one of the tabi'een rahimahullah, and how he changed his life after he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the story of Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah. Malik bin Dinar. Malik bin Dinar, my dear sister, brothers and sisters in Islam, he used to be a police officer, but tyrant, aggressive, merciless police officer. And one day, when he was on the marketplace, he heard a voice of a person saying to someone, Ya Sayyidi, oh my master, Ya Sayyidi, Rudda ilayya mali, oh my master, bring me back, give me my wealth back, give me my money back. Yaqul Malik bin Dinar, fataqarrabtu ilayhi. I came to the source of the song and the sound and the voice. And I saw this man, big, strong man, who was standing, but he's wearing a long turban. And I thought this weak voice cannot be the voice of this man. So I went closer to him, and I saw in front of him is this weak, humble servant with thobe full of patches, on his knees, saying, Ya Sayyidi, Rudda ilayya mali. فَإِنَّهَا أَوْ إِنَّهَا عَشَاءُ بُنَيَّاتِ. He said, give me back my money. This is the dinner for my daughters. He said, I came without introduction. And I said to him, Rudda ilayhi mal. I said, give his money back. And he looked at me with arrogance and he said, ilayka anni. This is not your concern. And for the third time, he said, I punched the man, put him down, took the money from the man, gave it to the poor man, and I said, go and run. He said, this poor man, he took the money, and he ran. And while he was running, I said to him, Ya hada, qul li bunayyatik, tell your daughters tonight while they're having the meal to make dua for Malik bin Dinar. So the man turned and he left. He says, Subhanallah, that day when I woke up in the morning, I felt a brand new person. I felt that Allah has accepted the tawbah from the mouth of those young ladies. So he said, from that day, I entered the masjid and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all my sins. Ikhwati fillah, if you're really looking for sincere repentance, you must do the following, bi idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, change your environment. Change your situation. If you want Allah to accept your repentance, you must change the way you live. You can't be in a pool of filth, impurity, but at the same time say, oh, I am going to be pure, because your friends, your environment will definitely affect you. Remember the hadith in Sahih Muslim, a man who killed 99 people, and then he went to a man who's in the masjid who have no knowledge, but has ibadah, and he said, I have killed 99 people. Do I have chance with Allah for him to forgive my sins? And he says, Subhanallah, you killed 99 people. Allah will never forgive you. So the man said, then let me kill you as well. And he killed him, 100 people. But shortly after that, he was told to go and meet this scholar. And when he went to the scholar said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, who can stop you from the repentance? And he repented. He said, but however, leave this place. It's a place of evil. Leave this place and go start your life fresh. And this is the first condition. If you want to repent, you got to change your environment. And that man, Subhanallah, during his journey, he passed away, he died. And Allah, as we know in Sahih Muslim, sent angel. He sent angel. And the angels, two angels, grew from Jannah and grew from Jahannam, they fighting over the body, of the soul of this man. He have never done any good deed. He must be from the people of Jahannam, said the angels from hell. And the angels of Jannah said he came as a ta'ib, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah sent an extra third angel and he said, let them measure the distance between the two villages. And subhanallah, Allah ordered the village that he was going to be closer to the body. And so therefore the angel took him. Ikhwati fillah. Yaqul, one of the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man from Bani Israel. والحديث في سنن الترمذي بسند صحيح. A man from Bani Israel, his name was Kif. And Kif, he never done anything good. Anything good. Which is the second point, and that is, you must desist whatever you're doing for Allah to accept your tawbah. You clear your environment, and then you stop whatever you're doing, and then Allah will accept your tawbah. This man by the name Kif, what he did, he never used to do any khayr. And once this lady, a young lady who is in need, came to him. And he said to her, I will never give you anything, hatta tumakkinani min nafsik, until you allow me to have illegal relationship with you. And the lady, she agreed. for him to give her money. So when the man, he was about to do the ma'asiyah, she trembled, she panicked, she cried. And then he said, did I force you to do this with me? Did I ask you, did I force you? She said, no, but I have never done it. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I need the money. He got up and he said, if this is what, if you hear because of need, I am in need for the mercy of Allah more than you need this money. Take the money and go away. And on that night, subhanAllah, he died. And then Allah ordered an angel to come to his house and write on the door of that person, indeed Allah has forgiven the sin of kifl because of what he did last night. So if you want Allah to forgive you, then you must stay away or you must withdraw yourself from the ma'asiyah. The third things that you need to do, my dear brothers and sisters, for Allah to forgive you, is not to rely on your tawbah. Do not rely on it. Do not say, I repented, therefore I'm okay, let me move on. Yesterday was yesterday, let me enjoy today. No. You should always worry about your sins until you get to Jannah. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, if a caller calls and he says, everyone is going to Jahannam, everyone, I'm sorry, is going to Jannah except one person, I would assume I am that person who's going to hell with Iyadu Billah. I would assume, because I don't know if Allah has forgiven my sins. This is Umar ibn Khattab, whom Allah has forgiven all his sins because he was one of the Ashara Mubashirin Bil Jannah. Not only that, Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had so many dreams that Umar ibn Khattab will be in Jannah bi-idhnillah. Yet, he said, if a caller calls and says everyone is going to Jannah except one person, I would assume that person. So you do not rely on your tawbah and do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your sins. Number four, ya ikhwati fillah, must do extreme deeds to offset your sins. Do deeds as much as you can to offset your sins. Umar ibn al-Khattab, once again, remember, Umar had strong personality. And he was very direct. He was not a munafiq. And he always used to say what he feels to the face, to the person's face. So when Abdullah bin Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the son of the Amir al-Munafiqin in Medina, when he came to Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know my father. You know what he did, and that he is a munafiq. He's the one who said, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. You know about him. Yes. Ya Rasulullah, he's dying. Let me ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. So the Messenger of Allah said, Ya Allah, forgive him. Then the son went and he came back. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, my father died. Give me your soul so I can use it for his covenant. May Allah forgive him when he sees he's wearing your thobe. So the Messenger of Allah took his thobe off and he gave it to the son because the son was a mu'min. Then the son comes back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, come and pray on my father. Now Umar ibn Khattab, for Rasulullah to ask for forgiveness for that dying person, acceptable. For Rasulullah to give his thobe for this munafiq, it's acceptable. Now for Rasulullah to pray on the janazah of a munafiq, Umar ibn Khattab could not stand that. So the Messenger of Allah comes to the body and he wants to say Allahu Akbar. Then Umar ibn Khattab comes between him and the body and he says, Ya Rasulullah, la tusalli alayhi, fa innahu munafiq. Do not pray on him because he's a hypocrite. So the Messenger of Allah, he says, an ilayka anni ya Umar, move aside, O Umar. But Umar comes back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, don't you remember what he did? Don't you remember he said Aisha committed zina with another Sahabi? Don't you remember he was the one who took 300 muhajirin or mujahideen back in the battle of Uhud? Don't you remember what he said? And Rasulullah says, move aside, Ya Umar. Move aside. And then he comes back and he says, I forced myself. And then he says, later on, for my bold standing against the Messenger of Allah, لَا زِلْتُ أَعْمَلُ لَهَا أَعْمَالًا. He said, I still do deeds for Allah to forgive me for what I did on that day. Because I challenged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I challenged the Messenger of Allah. Similar thing in the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. When Umar ibn Khattab could not agree for Rasulullah to sign the treaty with Quraysh, that a person, a mu'min who comes from the city of Medina, from city of Mecca, migrating, accepting Islam, he should be sent back, and a person who comes from the city of Medina, you know, apostating from Islam, should be accepted in Mecca. Umar ibn Khattab could not handle that, and he challenged the Messenger of Allah, but he said, "Ma ziltu a'tiq." وَأَتَصَدَّقْ وَأُصَلِّ. He said, I'm still freeing slaves. I'm still giving charity. I'm still fasting for Allah to forgive my sins. So the lesson is, you know, don't say I made tawbah and relax. You should do more and more and more every single day. The fourth thing that you need to do if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your deed is you have leave something secret between you and Allah alone. See, ya ikhwati fillah, the things that we do in public may not count. Us as speakers, we talk to you. We quote the hadith and the Quran and the sunnah and all this. But Allah knows if this can be counted. Why? Because what I think is, what counts is what we do between you and Allah alone. Not what we do in public. Because sometimes shaitan comes to you, you organize a conference or an event. Shaitan will say, it was a successful event. What a successful event. You come and deliver a lecture, shaitan will say, that was a good lecture. You try, you come to Salat al-Masjid, to Jama'ah, in a masjid, and the shaitan will say, pray well, so the people will see how perfect you're praying. You come to a halaqah, a shaitan will say to you, you know, mashallah, let the people see you, students of knowledge. So at the end of the day, you don't know how much that you have on your book. But if you do a deed that is only between you and Allah, you can rest assured that this is for you. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was one of the ulama. He was a alim and mujahid fi sabilillah. He was one of the people who always used to do things behind closed doors. Will never expose his hasanat. Never expose his hasanat. And one of the battlefield, and the tradition was, you have the mujahideen and you have the enemy of Islam. And then they used to challenge one another. So when a non-Muslim came from the army of the non-Muslim, and he asked for someone to challenge him. Someone to challenge him. So a mu'min came, mujahid fi sabilillah, but he was killed immediately by that mushrik. And then another Muslim came, and that Muslim was immediately killed by the same man. Seven of the Muslims came and all of them were killed. And then a man whom his face is covered with a strange horse comes out of nowhere and he challenged this man and he kills him on the spot. And the mu'minin all say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And they wanted to know who is this hero who saved the day. But they cannot see his face. And he's holding his mask tight, so tight, that no one can remove the mask. And then One of the people who were very close to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he grabbed his hand with one hand and he removed the mask from the face of that knight. فَإِذَا هُوَ بِعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Mubarak. And that knight was Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And then Abdullah ibn Mubarak قَالَ يَا أَبَا فُلَانَ حَتَّى أَنْتَ مِمَّنْ يَشِنَّ عَلَيْنَا. He said, "Ya Abu Fulan, even you are against us? Now Allah may not accept my deed." Because he assumed that if people get to know the deed that he performed, Allah will not accept his deed. And subhanAllah, this is what we're missing. As Muslims nowadays, you know, we do everything open. You and I are perfect Muslims outside. But behind closed doors, only Allah knows. What do we do behind closed doors? What do we watch? What do we listen? Do we stand in front of Allah and weep in the darkness? May not. We may not do that. But we come to Salat al-Taraweeh and we pretend that we're crying with the dua. SubhanAllah. Imam An-Nawawi said, if you perfect your ibadah outdoors when people can see you, and you perform your ibadah in a lower level when you are alone, then Allah will reward everything that you do openly with the minimum that you do behind closed doors. So if you go and you say, MashaAllah, I'm going to stand up for Qiyam al-Layl for Ramadan, but the rest of 11 months of the year you don't stand up for Qiyam al-Layl, then rest assured Allah may reward you nothing because you did nothing behind closed doors. So you need to have that amal, that deed, that on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, you can say to Allah, I did this for you. And remember, out of the first three people that Jahannam would start with, it is not Iblis and his army. It is not a munafiqeen. Rather, they would be person of knowledge, person who used to worship Allah, generous person, a person who died apparently for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not belittle the status of doing good deeds behind closed doors. Number five, my dear brothers and sisters, that you need to do is remember that every limb of yours will work against you on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. In Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will bring a servant and he will say to him, have I not made you a master of your own? Meaning, did I not bestow upon you so much, so many gifts and blessings? Yes. Have I not give you wealth for you to survive? Yes. And then Allah would mention the ni'am that he gave that person. And in return Allah would ask him, what have you done? And the person will come and he will lie. Ya Allah, I worshipped you. Ya Allah, I gave sadaqah. Ya Allah, I prayed for you. Ya to you. Oh Allah, oh Allah. And then Allah will say subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have witnesses who are witness against you. And then Allah will bring the Quran, the Sunnah, the Prophet, and he will say, no, Ya Allah, Quran was not there. The Sunnah wasn't there. The Anbiya were not there. And everyone that Allah brings as witness against this person, the person will say, I don't trust their testimony. I don't agree with their testimony. And then Allah will say subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have one witness left. And he will say, who else? The Quran, I don't agree with. The Sunnah, the Anbiya, none of that. And then Allah will seal your lips and my lips. Wal-iyadu billah. And then Allah would ask the person's limbs to speak. So your hands and my hands would speak. My feet and your feet would speak. Your eyes and my eyes would speak. My ear, my hearing and your hearing would speak. All of them would speak against us. SubhanAllah. Imagine this belly that you fight for. This body that you try to nourish and satisfy. On the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will testify against you. And the hand will say, yes, I commit a sin. And the eye will say, I commit a zina, for example. And the feet will say, I commit a zina. And our private parts, I commit a zina. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُتِبَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا مُدْرِكٌ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَ مِنْ الْعَيْنُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَ النَّظْرِ وَالسَّمْعُ يَزْنِي وَزِنَاهُ السَّمْعُ وَالْأُذْنُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَ السَّمْعُ وَالْيَدُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَ الْبَطْشُ وَالرِّجْلُ تَزْنِي وَزِنَاهَ الْخُطَأُ وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُ. He say, your eyes could commit zina, and the zina of the eyes is looking. Your hearing will commit zina, and the zina of the hearing, if the ears is listening, and the hands and feet and the private part will confirm it or deny it. And the sixth, ikhwati fillah, that would insha'Allah solidify and strength your tawbah, is remembering death. Remembering death. Remembering malak al-maut. هَذِمُ اللَّدَّاتِ. Remembering that subhanallah, that death is closer to you than you expect. كَمَا فِي صَحِيحِ عُثْمَان بِنُ عَفَّان, when he hears the ayat and the hadith of Nabi, he used to weep inside. But when he sees and he passed by grave, his legs, his feet would not carry him, and he will kneel down and cry. And the people, you say, subhanallah, you hear the Quran and you don't cry. You hear the hadith, you don't cry. But when you see a cemetery, a dead body, a person in the grave, you cry. He say, yes, because this is the beginning of akhirah. This is beginning of akhirah. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu used to come and he used to bring people, his companions, to the cemetery, to the graves. And he used to speak to the dead. He used to speak to the people who died. And he used to say, Ya ayyuha nasu mal khabaru indakum. Oh people, what news do you have for us from akhirah? What do you have for us? And he would ask them as though they can respond back. And the tabi'een and the sahaba, they used to listen to this conversation between Ali and the people in the graves. And Ali would pause for a second and he would say to them, أَمَّا الْخَبَرُ عِنْدَنَا. He said, the news that we have for you, أَنَّ بِيُوتَكُمْ قَدْ سُكِنَتْ. Someone else lives in your homes. وَأَنَّ أَمْوَالُكُمْ قَدْ قُسِّمَتْ. And your wealth has been divided amongst the hair. And وَأَنَّ نِسَاءَكُمْ قَدْ زُوِّجَ. And your women or your spouses, we married someone other than you. وَأَنَّ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ قَدْ يُتِمَ. And your children became yatims. And then he turned to his companions with the tears from his eyes. And he used to say, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ قَالُوا لَقَالُوا إِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Say, wallahi, if they could say something, they would say to us, the best provision that you have is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, brothers and sisters, remember the day that you're going to be placed in that little tiny, tight place. When you have, subhanallah, no one to be with you. No spouse, no children, no family member, no status, no comfortable bed, not beautiful rooms, none of that. Subhanallah, in our life, we live like we don't exist and nothing exists. And we live so arrogant, so we think that nothing can stop us. But when we die, we're nothing. Have you ever seen this picture of a Sudani, simple Sudani guy, subhanallah, Sudani, brother from Sudan, wearing a simple outfit, standing on the grave, making dua. And you know whose grave that was? King Abdullah, the late king of Saudi. And I asked myself, if that poor Sudani, miskin Muslim, if he asked to meet the king Abdullah during his lifetime, do you think he would meet him? Do you think that king now who has no one, if that Sudanese king guy comes and say, I want to see the king, do you know how many obstacles he would face? Do you know how many security and bodyguards he would face? Do you know how many times they would search him just to meet that king? But now, he's there. No haras, no palace, no nice living, dining, reception room. No nothing. And that miskin Sudani, whom his salary is almost 1,000 riyals, is almost $200, that miskin now is with the great king. With the great king. Remember the day that you may not even have that Sudani on your grave. Remember that day that wallahi, no one will come. Yes, maybe first day, first week, first month, maybe first year. After that, your children will be busy with their own lives. Your spouse, your husband or wife will remarry. You know, your wealth would be given into portions. So remember, and when you have that right in front of you, then the tawbah will come sincere from your heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disappoint your repentance if you are like that. But my dear brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to change the condition of the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put taqwa in our hearts so the tawbah can come and Allah, for Allah to forgive us. Jazakum Allahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.